from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, we're broadcasting live from the 15th annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing at the Hyatt Hotel, just blocks from the Capitol here in Washington, D.C. We'll hear from our national field director, Randy Wilson, and this year's recipient of the Watchman on the Wall Award. But first, President Trump has canceled his highly anticipated summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
Based on the recent statement of North Korea, I have decided to terminate the planned summit in Singapore on June 12th.
We'll talk with former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who served on the House Intelligence Committee. She's here with us at the Watchman briefing. Also, there's been a lot of debate over President Trump's use of the word animals to describe MS-13 gang members. Author, syndicated columnist, and radio talk show host Todd Starnes has weighed in on the matter, and he'll share his thoughts with us later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. All right, breaking news today, probably not completely surprising. President Trump all along had kind of suggested that the summit might not happen. Well, this morning he canceled the summit next month with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, citing tremendous anger and open hostility from the rogue nation in a letter explaining his abrupt decision. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo read that letter before a Senate panel this morning.
And it reads as follows. Dear Mr. Chairman, we greatly appreciate your time, patience, and effort with respect to our recent negotiations and discussions relative to a summit long sought by both parties, which was scheduled to take place on June 12th in Singapore. We are informed that the meeting was requested by North Korea, but that to us is totally irrelevant. I was very much looking forward to being there with you. Sadly, based on the tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your most recent statement, I feel it is appropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting, or inappropriate, excuse me. I feel it is inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting. Therefore, please let this letter serve to represent that the Singapore summit, for the good of both parties, but to the detriment of the world, will not take place. You talk about your nuclear capabilities, but ours are so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used. I felt that a wonderful dialogue was building up between you and me, and ultimately is only that dialogue that matters. Someday, I look very much forward to meeting you. In the meantime, I want to thank you for the release of the hostages who are now home with their families. That was a beautiful gesture and was very much appreciated. If you change your mind having to do with this important summit, please do not hesitate to call me or write. The world, and North Korea in particular, has lost a great opportunity for lasting peace and great prosperity and wealth. This missed opportunity is a truly sad moment in history. Sincerely yours, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir.
With us now is, former Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, a former member of the House Intelligence Committee, and with us here at Watchman on the Wall. Michelle, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you. It's a privilege to be here in D.C. at Watchman on the Wall with you and the great pastors that are here.
Michelle, I mean, I know you know this region of the world very well as a member of the House Intelligence Committee. A lot of insight into North Korea. Are you surprised that this summit was called off?
Well, I'm sad that it is called off, but I think what we're seeing is a pattern of behavior by the leader of North Korea. North Korea has gotten their way for decades by throwing tantrums. If your listeners will think of Charlie Brown and the football with Lucy, Lucy holds the football, Charlie Brown believes that that football is going to be there, and at the last minute she pulls the football away, and Charlie Brown inevitably ends up flat on his back thinking, oh, I trusted her again. In this case, Donald Trump has completely changed the paradigm by saying effectively to the leader of North Korea, this is a new ball game. By you throwing your tantrums, we're not putting up with it. And so I think that this is a very good move on the part of Donald Trump because, again, the leader of North Korea was pitching a fit. He wanted more. He wanted more concessions that he shouldn't have. And so he was wanting the United States to cave and capitulate. And unfortunately, that's how North Korea got to the position that they did with the nuclear negotiator, Wendy Sherman. She played right into his hands and put us in a very difficult position. Donald Trump will have none of that. He is a new sheriff. What he did in this letter is exactly right, and I'm thrilled that Secretary of State Pompeo read this letter so that the people of the United States and of the world understand who is at fault, but more importantly, that the world would have been safer if this meeting would have taken place, and the fact that we do have the biggest arsenal in the world, and so these games that are being played in North Korea won't be tolerated.
It seems
meaning that he's going to drop these nuclear weapons, but that they're there.
Right, and I think a reminder, because that is similar to the statements that were made about a year ago. But apparently there were a few factors that weighed in kind of influenced the president in making this decision. The comments that were made about the Vice President Pence, they kind of lashed out at him. There were comments made over the joint exercises between the U.S. and South Korea. But also Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, basically said that North Korean negotiators, the pre-summit negotiators, had ghosted them. They were having conversations that all of a sudden they went dark, and there was no conversation suggesting that this was not going to work out in the best interest of the United States because all of the prep work was not being done.
Well, that's right, but this is part of the antics that North Korea has done for decades, literally going back to the Bill Clinton years. They have continually pulled these kind of shenanigans, and the United States has capitulated to them and rewarded them. Anytime they acted like this, the United States ended up giving them money, materials, in effect, the ability to build up a nuclear program.
Encouraging bad behavior.
By encouraging bad behavior. It was what your listeners might understand is bad parenting versus good parenting. And again, not to treat like the leader of North Korea as a child, but in some ways, that's what we're seeing. We're now seeing a good parent step in and say, you know, I'm not bailing you out for taking the car, 16-year-old, and wrecking it. I'm not bailing you out of jail. And Donald Trump now is saying, you know what? We want to do the right thing. We thought you wanted to do the right thing. You're pulling out. Too bad for you. Too bad for the world, but we're going to be fine. And it's because Donald Trump knows who he is, who the United States is, and we're not going to get played.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, my guest, a former member of the House Intelligence Committee, talking about the president's decision today to cancel the summit in Singapore next month with the leader of North Korea. This obviously taking South Korea by surprise. The White House official said the president kept this under wraps because of leaks, didn't want this going out before he announced it. Obviously unsettling to South Korea. They were hoping that might be some type of negotiated peace there and the denuclearization of the peninsula there. That's still within reach.
I think it is. And I think that, again, the president took the right step today to get to a point of peace because he's sending a very clear signal that we are going to play by rules of reality with North Korea. We aren't going to benefit bad behavior. This was pure garbage when the leader of North Korea was objecting to peaceful exercises that everyone knew was going to take place. That was phony. The minute I heard that, I knew that that was a phony ploy. And so Donald Trump isn't going to have any of it. He's not going to get played. The thing your listeners need to realize is Donald Trump is in charge of this situation. Previously, North Korea was jerking the chain of the United States, and the United States was falling in line. That's not happening this time, and that's why I believe this will lead to peace, because ultimately the leader of North Korea is not going to win this effort. We are not going to allow them to get to the point of the nuclear capability where they pose a threat. We will intervene ahead of time. That's why it's so imperative who is the commander-in-chief. Donald Trump has surprised a lot of people, including us. He's exceeded expectations. And the way he's handling this effort, which is very volatile, as commander-in-chief couldn't be better, in my estimation.
Well, he likes to operate from a position of strength, negotiate from that position, and I think that strengthens his hand. I mean, you juxtapose this with the way the Obama administration handled Iran.
Yes.
And we basically gave them everything for a fig leaf of, you know, security, basically saying, you know, we're not going to.
And ironically, the same nuclear negotiator, Wendy Sherman, was involved in both North Korea, which she failed there, and then she was put in charge of the Iranian negotiation. She failed there. But again, we're going in a very good direction. And I think this also speaks well of Donald Trump's putting John Bolton in place at the National Security Council and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in place. He has the two right men in the two top jobs, and they are serving President Trump very, very well. I have very high confidence in the foreign policy decisions that are coming out of the Trump administration.
Now, some critics of the president, it was interesting. They, on the left, they didn't support the coming together with Kim Jong-un to begin with. Now that the president's canceled it, they're criticizing and saying it could put the nation at risk. Do you see that this could, that this creates a more volatile situation that already
existed?
No, if
anything, it's far more peaceful. Just like the president designating Jerusalem as Israel's capital is actually a move of peace in the Middle East and a move of strength. This, too, is also a move of peace, because this tantrum, so to speak, that North Korea is throwing is not yielding the results that the leader of North Korea thought he was going to get. And so now it is tough love that Donald Trump is giving back to the leader of North Korea. That leads to peace, just like in people's households with their kids. Tough love ultimately leads to peace and good behavior. And that's what we're seeing, I think, with North Korea as well.
And we know, we're talking to someone that's had a lot of experience with that, over two dozen kids. So
that's
you
I'm
know,
the old woman in the shoe, Tony. I'm so the mother of 28.
So you know what tough love.
And we all
love.
Survived.
That's right. Hey, we're just up against a break here, but I want to quickly, we haven't talked since you got back from Israel, and you were there for the move of the embassy.
Yeah, I was. I think it's important your listeners need to know the Spirit of God was so clearly evident during the ceremony of the dedication. Scripture was stated throughout. Biblical allegories were stated throughout. We can be extremely grateful. This is a move of peace, and there was a sense that people said over and over that day that, quoting the scripture that says, it is as though we were in a dream. We felt that we were in a dream, because this is really a fulfillment of thousands of years of prophecy, the establishment of the Jewish state. And what Donald Trump did by opening this embassy is bringing about legitimacy, that Israel has a legitimate right to Jerusalem as her capital. That is everything. It takes away the figment of propaganda from the liars who say that Israel does not have the right. What Donald Trump did is a game changer for the Middle East.
And the Middle East understands power.
Yes.
And that's what the president showed there. Michelle Bachmann, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for being here at the Watchman on the Wall conference and for joining me here on radio today.
Thank you. It's always a thrill.
All right. Folks, don't go away. Coming up next, undoubtedly you've heard the uproar over President Trump calling MS-13 gang members animals. Well, Senator Pelosi would rather embrace these violent criminals. Todd Starnes, host of Todd Starnes Radio, author, columnist, will be here next. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University.
to watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. We are broadcasting live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel here in Washington, D.C. at the foot of Capitol Hill, where our 15th annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Conference is taking place. And pastors, if you were not able to be here, well, you can still join us. You can actually watch all of it online. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, the president sparked a little controversy. Well, that's not new, but last week he used the word animals during a discussion about sanctuary cities and members of MS-13. Now, folks, let me just say, I've been involved in law enforcement. I've been involved with things with gangs. I've not been involved with MS-13. However, I've read extensively about them, read some of the intelligence reports on them. These are bad dudes. Okay. Well, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said it was unchristian to liken the illegal alien gang members to animals. Now, this is a gang whose motto is to kill, rape, and control. Joining us now is Todd Starnes, Fox News radio talk show host, syndicated columnist, and author. His latest book, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony, and it's great to be here at Watchman on the Wall. Happy anniversary. 15 years.
15 years, and you did a great job today on the panel talking about the issue of cultural engagement and calling Christians to be engaged and be involved, which your book is all about, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again.
Yeah, look, this book is based on a sermon that Adrian Rogers delivered in the 1990s on what it means to be a Christian citizen in America. And so we really wanted to put together some practical things that people could do in their own communities to engage the culture and restore traditional American values.
And you actually talk in the book about, write, I should say, in the book about the culture impact teams that we promote here at Watchman.
Those are huge, Tony, and that's one of the exciting things coming out of this movement are the grassroots supporters, the people that are planning these cultural impact teams in their churches, and they're engaging the culture and informing their fellow church members. That is so important if we're gonna reclaim the culture.
Todd, I'm going to go to the article that you wrote regarding the president's comments. Did he mischaracterize the gang members of MS-13?
I think he did mischaracterize the gang members, to be honest with you. I'm going to disagree with the president on this. I don't think they're animals. I think they're monstrous savages. We're talking about people who literally tore the heart out of
in Maryland.
We're talking about some very, very bad people. 10,000 of these gang
members. By the way, I want to put a little commentary there. Stabbed the guy 100 times, and while his heart was still beating, ripped it out of his chest.
Ripped it out and dismembered and beheaded this man. I mean, these are the kinds of people that we're talking about. They took a 15-year-old girl and beat her more than 30 times with a baseball bat. These are the people that Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of Oakland, California are siding with, and it's just really beyond the pale. But the problem here is that the Democrats have a big problem with defining evil, and I think that's ultimately what this is all about.
Well, they tried to suggest that the president, when he said animals, was talking about all illegal aliens.
And they completely lied. And the mainstream media completely lied, flat out lied, Tony. We went back and you can hear we played the audio on my radio show. It was very clear he was referring to MS-13 right. gang members and not illegal aliens.
And you know what, Todd? The vast majority of Americans understood that despite the spin the media wanted to put on it.
Oh, of course they do. And again, this is why people do not trust the mainstream media. This is why the whole fake news movement has exploded across America, because of nonsense like this.
Well, speaking of fake news, let's talk about one of the stories that the fake news does not want to talk about, and that is this continued attack on religious freedom. You wrote about a valedictorian whose speech basically redacted any reference to Jesus Christ in order to give his speech.
Yeah, that's right. This happened at West Prairie High School in Illinois. What a great kid. Sam Blackledge is his name, 18 years old. He's a strong believer, goes to a local Bible church, Argyle Bible Church. And he had a 4.0 grade point average, one of the valedictorians. They had two. And he wrote this terrific speech, and he talked about his relationship with Christ. And a couple of hours before the ceremony, which was last Saturday, by the way, he was called to the principal's office and said, "You got to turn in your speech." About 10 minutes before the ceremony, they told this young man he would not be able to deliver the speech because it was inappropriate. It was too religious. They said, if you take Christ out of this speech, you'll be able to deliver the speech.
10 minutes before he's to give his speech.
That's right. The young man even gave them an out. He said, "Well, what if I put a disclaimer at the front of the speech saying this is my speech and not the school's?" And they said, "No, because someone might think that we're endorsing what you're saying." And so the young man said, "You know, I can't do that." He said, "This is the truth. This is who I am. This is why I have a 4.0 grade point average." And so the young man was not allowed to deliver his speech because of the religious content.
And he's taken action.
That's right. So that happened on Saturday. Saturday evening, one of my readers sent me an alert about this. I interviewed the young man Sunday. We posted the story Sunday night. By Monday, First Liberty Institute had flown an attorney to Illinois, and they are now representing this young man. They've sent an official complaint letter to the school district. The school district wanted to meet with the mom and the dad. But when they found out First Liberty was there and was going to be in the meeting as well, they canceled the meeting. So we'll see what happens here. But this young man, he's willing to go to court for this.
Well, and there's a long line of cases to show that he has a First Amendment freedom, which has been basically abridged by the school.
Well, he certainly does. And look, this is a great young fella. He was very sensitive, didn't want the school district to get a lot of flack, a lot of blowback. But he said he needs to stand up for his constitutional rights.
And this is why it's so important, folks. You know, Todd, when he writes about these stories, this is why it's good to get tips from people across the country so that you can write about these stories, bring a spotlight to them, and protect religious freedom.
And by the way, folks can read the entire speech that was censored at toddstarnes.com. We have the entire speech there, and it's a terrific speech.
toddstarnes.com, and keep those tips coming, folks, right?
Absolutely.
All right, and you'll give me a little bit of credit for that, right?
Yeah,
when we give you those tips, all right? All right, Todd Starnes, check it out, TonyPerkins.com. Coming up next, hundreds of pastors have gathered for the 15th annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing. Our national field director, Randy Wilson, will join me along with the recipient of this year's Watchman on the Wall Award. Don't go away. Back with more Washington Watch after this.
Hello. Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. As I mentioned earlier, we are broadcasting live from the 15th Annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing here in Washington, D.C., just at the foot of Capitol Hill. And we've got hundreds of pastors here. Great time as we get Watchman pastors coming in. And again, pastors, if you're a pastor, you weren't able to be here, you can watch it all online. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Still got more to come tonight. Pastor Carter Conlon will be speaking tonight. And it's just amazing to see the theme and how all the pieces have been woven together. And, of course, tomorrow a lot more. We'll wrap up a little bit after lunch tomorrow. But it's just a refreshing, encouraging time. And it's also a time, tonight's one of my most special times, because we get to recognize one of the Watchmen on the Wall pastors who has stood up and spoken truth, but expressed and shown the love of Christ. And back in February, we reported that Metro City Church in Riverview, Michigan, offered a workshop. Now, it was called Unashamed Identity. It was for girls 12 through 16 who were struggling with thoughts of being transsexual, bisexual, or gay, or whatever. And the pastor of that church came under enormous attack from the left, even state lawmakers, calling for the attorney general to investigate him. But he didn't back down. He didn't shrink back. He didn't refuse to love people. And by the way, this was a seminar that girls could come to. Their parents had to come and give permission. So, I mean, it was like the parents, yeah, my daughter struggled with this. I would like her to have some kind of help. Well, that didn't set well. And you've heard us, you know, we've been talking about a couple of weeks here now, this debate in California where they're actually wanting to outlaw these types of outreaches from churches to offer truth and help to those who are struggling with their sexual identity. Well, with us now is Pastor Jeremy Chachot. He is the pastor of Metro Church, and he is the winner of this year's Watchman on the Wall Award. Pastor Jeremy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me. Super exciting to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you, along with Randy Wilson, who serves as FRC's National Field Director for our church ministries. And he's also, we ought to give him like those paratrooper wings, because we always drop him in when these events are happening. I know he was up there with you when that took place at your church. So, Randy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always great to be here, Tony. Thanks.
Did I accurately describe what took place there?
Yeah, I think so. So what you have are a bunch of teenagers, young teenagers. A lot of them are just 10, 11, 12 years old, actually. And they live in this world that is hyper-sexualized, as you know, in the public schools. And you have 11-year-old girls who would come to somebody like me, a spiritual leader in their family's life, and they say, am I gay? I'm struggling with this thought. And you ask them, why do you think you're gay? Well, I don't have a boyfriend yet. And you go, you're 11 years old. What do you mean? Why are you even worried about this? Well, the whole world is telling them nonstop, telling them, you must be gay. And they eventually wake up struggling with that. And so they come to their spiritual leaders in their life, you know, their church, like, which is normal for all kinds of issues in life. And we try to just love them and shape them and move them in the right direction. And the biggest thing we tell them is just slow down. There's nothing, you don't have to be anything. You're 11, 12, 13, 14 years old.
So what was the genesis for creating this workshop? I mean, I know you described this problem, but
there's a never ending flow of young people struggling with
this. So you've had people come to you asking for help.
Never ending flow.
And so you decided, we're going to try to meet this need, and we're going to create this workshop.
And so we've done this for years and years. When they come individually, we'll do individual counsel, but we have a large church, and oftentimes there's 8, 10 at a time maybe struggling with this. And we'd say, hey, particularly with the girls, they don't mind getting together. The guys, not so much.
Right.
But the girls, yeah, we'll work together on this. And so we put together a workshop, which lasts 6, 7 weeks. It's, you know, getting 6, 7, 8, 10 girls in a room with a mentor type of leader. Usually we find a woman leader for that, and they just kind of walk them through these issues. And we really let the teens kind of lead the way. When one starts talking, they all start talking. And we just love them and gently point them toward Christ and a biblical worldview of sexuality. And the main thing is we say, anybody who's pressuring you is not your friend. Anybody who is pushing sex of any kind on you is not your friend. When the whole world is telling a 12-year-old to experiment, we think that's crazy.
And again, to be clear, I stated this, but I want people to understand this, that you required a parent to come in and give authorization for this.
Yeah. And really we try to get both the teen and the parent to say, we want to do this. Because if you drag a teen in, and they just put their foot down, they're going to ruin the whole thing for everybody. And so, you know, there are times we say to a kid, look, you don't want to be here. That's cool. This isn't going to do anybody any good. And we just encourage those parents to kind of deal with it in a different way. But we definitely try to put two and two together, a willing parent and a willing teen.
This somehow, I mean, going on. We're up against a break, so I want both of you to hold tight. Randy, don't go anywhere. I know you've been saying a lot, but don't go anywhere, okay? Randy Wilson, our National Field Director with Watchmen on the Wall. Jeremy Shasho, I'm working on that. Am I close?
Pretty good.
All right.
Go City Church.
Right. I got that down pretty good. All right, folks, we're coming back with more Washington Watch. We're going to finish our conversation here with this year's Watchmen on the Wall Award recipient. Coming up next, the continuation of this conversation. Don't go away. We're coming back with more right after this.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
You're listening to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, as I mentioned, we are at the 15th Annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing here in Washington, D.C. And tonight, big event. This is it's a special time because each year we recognize a pastor who has displayed the attributes of a watchman. And the whole idea of a watchman is one who stands on the walls of a nation, of a society, looking out for the dangers and warning others. And we're joined by Randy Wilson, who is the National Field Director for Church Ministries here at FRC, and Pastor Jeremy Sasho, who is the pastor of Metro Church and the winner of this year's Watchman on the Wall Award. We were having this conversation, and I want to kind of pick up where we left off, Pastor Jeremy. You've been doing this workshop called Unashamed Identity, helping girls who are struggling with their sexual identity. You've been doing that for a number of years, but then all of a sudden, this time was different.
Yeah, we put it out on Facebook more internally for our church, and then a very, very large anti-God, pro-gay website picked it up, or Facebook page picked it up, and literally just made a very simple statement. They linked to the little advertisement and said, "This guy is evil. Let him know how bad he is." And that was it. And then from then on out, we had literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of emails, messages, phone calls. At one point, we were getting at the height, we timed it. We got 42 hate messages a minute, every minute. We could not hit delete fast enough. It was crazy.
And these weren't just messages saying, "We disagree with you, we think you are a bad guy."
No, they were vilifying our church, my family, threatening things to my wife, my kids. It was just bizarre. Like, we didn't even know where it was coming from. It was all over the world. It was really a coordinated effort.
And you felt kind of alone.
We did. For the first 5 or 6 days, it was like our church was spinning. We're a fairly large church, and we're going, "What is going on here?" and we felt utterly alone. And then Randy calls and says, I'm from the Family Research Council. Have you heard of us? I'm like, yeah, I've heard of you guys. You guys are great, you know. And he says, well, we want to come and stand with you and let you know that you're not alone, that there are pastors and an organization out there that loves you and loves what you're doing, and that we realize you're not being hateful, that you're just lovingly standing for the truth. And so Randy made a trip to Michigan, and our whole church was so grateful and really big boost, huge.
Spirit of the Church was incredible. What a privilege to come up and stand with you. You gave me some time in front of the body there, and the Spirit confirms with Spirit, right? This was so right. And, Tony, this follows your mission and vision and passion to stand with the pastors, and it follows your promise that you have made to pastors. If anyone stands for truth and gets railroaded, attacked, you will stand with them. And so this follows with our mission to champion pastors, to transform America. So this is why we, Family Research Council, Watchmen on the Wall, showed up at your facility to stand with you and encourage you and say you're not alone. In fact, there's us and there's many more standing with you.
Yeah, and it wasn't just you, of course. It was your whole team, and your research people sent me so much great information. I was able to get that out to the media and to our church people. Our people were wondering, what are we doing with this? You know, what should we know? What should we do? And you guys provided all that stuff.
Well, we didn't just stand there and take it. No, we went on the offense, right?
For sure.
We pulled the team together. We went to Lansing, Michigan, and we called a press conference. Yeah. And we put the word out there. And we called these representatives on the carpet and said, you back off. You pull that letter demanding the Attorney General investigate this church because you're reaching over that line of separation of church and state. Yeah. And so we got to go on the offense. We just can't stand there and take it. I know we're called to turn the other cheek, but we got to understand what Jesus was saying truly there. And in this day and time, the enemy is seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. We must stand up with the courage of God, according to his word, stand for righteousness and truth. But as you bring, Jeremy, and what I saw in your church, you bring then the love in a great way that encourages them to come. And that's what I loved about being with you at your church and what I heard and saw there.
Love without truth is not love, and truth without love is not truth. Right. They must go together. And you can do that in the world. And they're going to label you as hateful, but you just got to keep plugging away and showing who you are and what you stand for.
And what a desperate need met. The gender issue today
is huge.
The gender issue truly is at the heart of the gospel.
Yep.
It's Genesis. It's what God created. It's God the Father, God the Son. It speaks to masculine. It speaks to the gender issue. If we lose that, we lose it all.
Yeah.
And so to help these young people get through the questioning of gender, it's absolutely important. To make that happen.
The church cannot bury its head.
Cannot.
Let me ask you this, Jeremy, because you were making this point earlier, actually during the break. This wasn't on the air. It was while we were talking about how you came to this point that you have gone into the gay communities to minister in there for years.
Yep.
And I have to imagine that being called a hater, a homophobe, when you have spent literally two decades ministering to that community. And it reminds me of when they called Jesus the Lord of the Flies, Beelzebub, that, you know, it's the opposite of who he was. Yeah. Part of this, and you, when we speak of love, and we do love, we love all, we're commanded to love all. But the word love has been redefined in our culture to be affirmation, where we are to affirm everyone equally. We cannot affirm every life choice equally.
Right.
We can love, but we can't affirm.
Yeah, in one of the sessions here, one of the speakers says that we are to love human beings, not human doings.
Mm.
Huge difference, right? And they try to create this narrative right off the bat that we're just these hate mongers, that we literally hate them as human beings, and nothing could be further from the truth. We are a church that opens wide our doors to everybody. But again, love without truth is not love, and truth without love is not truth.
Jeremy, what I saw in your church also is, I think, as a parent of seven, my bride and I, now 13 grandchildren,
Stop bragging.
I think... The greatest gift we can give our children is to process life with them.
Yeah.
And so much is going on today. We're losing that time of listening to our children and hearing what they're going through and then bringing order to that. You're helping the parents do that in your church by offering these resources. And so you're partnering well with the body of life. I love your shepherd's heart in Metro City. They are blessed people.
The average parent is terrified of a conversation about gender issues, terrified of it. And they just need somebody who's not terrified of it.
Yeah, and there's so much information that we have at Family Research Council. The search bar, put in the issue, it'll pull down everything we've written about, talked about, the panels we have held to explain the gender issue and any other issue there as well. Yeah. So that's available. That's what we bring to the churches to help people understand the truth and the research on the issues so that we can bring order to chaos.
I just want to reaffirm for any pastor or any church or any parent that wants to engage this, if you don't engage it, the world will.
Oh, absolutely.
Their schools are filled with pro-gay counselors that want their kids or your kids to experiment with anything and everything. And friends, you know, just like drugs, once you go down that road of experimentation, it is downhill fast.
We've got to be strong and courageous.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. As already stated, we are at the 15th annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing here in Washington, D.C. Randy Wilson, my guest here, National Field Director for Church Ministries here at the Family Research Council, and Pastor Jerry Shasho, who is the pastor of Metro Church in Michigan. Randy, when you went up there with Pastor Jeremy, and you know, I know you went to Lansing, you began to assemble pastors. Other pastors came to stand with Jeremy. Once the alarm was sounded, other pastors rallied.
Yeah, we have a pastor, Chuck Vassum, that's down in Sturgis, Michigan. He's our state watchman council chairman up there who builds relationships with other pastors in the state. We're not able to be everywhere all the time, so we lean on pastors like Chuck to reach out and build those relationships. He contacted his network of pastors, and we told him the time and place in Lansing, and he brought, 10? We had 10 to 15 other pastors.
Yeah.
Come to that.
Plus many more wrote us letters of encouragement.
Absolutely. And they came from Detroit. They came from 2-3 hours away to stand with us and agree that what the, particularly the representatives that contacted the Attorney General and called the Attorney General to investigate the church, they stood and agreed with us. It was a show of force. And we were able to answer questions of the media and really push back on this issue and tell them we're not moving. This is right. You were able to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ in that press briefing and proclaim God's truth.
Yeah. Interesting, of course, with the legislation in Michigan is going forward. It probably won't go very far with the relative conservative majority. But what's interesting is the personal attack against our church by a few of the Democrat legislators has been primarily stopped, and the Attorney General's office said this is without merit.
And we started a petition drive as well, calling people
to
sign.
Yeah.
And then we delivered, and Chuck Vassum delivered almost 23,000 petitions.
So, Pastor Jeremy, let me ask you this question. You know, now on the backside of this, the importance of being in a network of pastors. I mean, do you see the value of that?
Especially a church like ours. We're a relatively large, independent, non-denominational Christian church, and pretty alone in this, and didn't realize the necessity of it until Randy's call, really. Every church needs another church to stand with our network of churches, and Watchman Association is about as best as it comes.
We're asking pastors across the country to develop community pastor councils where we don't stand alone. A pastor develops a relationship with another. They build at least five in this council, and they come together. They pray for the community that God's called them to. They then engage, build relationships with the city representatives, elected officials. And the ultimate objective is to bring righteousness back to the gates of the city. And corporately work to find, ask God for those businessmen and professionals, women as well, to who have a call on them to run for office. Righteous men and women to sit at the gates of the city and rule in righteousness mm-hmm. once again, so we might rejoice.
You know, Jeremy, there's probably some pastors out there saying, you know, I don't need that. I'm not going to get involved in these issues. I'm just not going to touch it. This found you.
Yeah. The only way not to touch this issue of sexuality is to not preach the fullness of the gospel. That's the only way. If you preach nothing, then nothing will happen. But if you ever preach the full truth of Scripture, it will find you.
If you preach the truth,
yep,
it will find you. And that's when it is good to be in fellowship with others, so that you do not stand alone. And that is a commitment that we made a number of years ago here at Family Research Council, Watchmen on the Wall, that we never again in America will a pastor who stands for biblical truth, speaking it in love.
There's a difference.
There is a difference. And we looked at what you were doing, and I reached out to Randy and said, Randy, we need to see what's going on here and see what help we can offer. And we are committed to standing with the pastors of America because
thank you.
As we know, the issues facing America, while we wrestle with them in the political realm, they are spiritual and moral at their core. And unless the spiritual leaders of our nation take those issues on, there is no hope for America.
Yeah. I think the culture has made moral issues political. And they are moral issues first. They are biblical issues first. And the church needs to engage.
And pastors need other pastors as well, have to encourage each other, to pray for each other, and then to stand with each other. We've got to be, Joshua 1:9, be strong and very courageous in these dark and trying days today. And we can't do it alone. We must have each other.
Yeah, this is not the age of the Lone Ranger. No. This is more the age of the band of brothers.
Yeah,
that's right.
Randy Wilson, so great to be with you.
Great to be
with
you.
Thanks for all the work you're doing out there all across this nation, crisscrossing the country, standing with pastors. We appreciate all you're doing at the Family Research Council.
Thanks, Tony.
Pastor Jeremy, congratulations for being the recipient of this year's Watchman on the Wall Award. But more than that, thank you for being true to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
And pastors, I want to encourage you, if you're not connected with Watchmen on the Wall, that you do so. You may say, well, I don't want to get involved in those issues. But as Pastor Jeremy said, if you preach the Word of God, you're going to get involved in the issues that at some point in time is going to upset somebody. And it could be any number of issues. But increasingly, as our culture becomes corrupt, the truth creates conflict when it's preached. And if not, then the church has compromised, and the corruption will only get worse. So I invite you to become a part of FRC's Watchmen on the Wall network, which is growing across the nation now, over 15,000 pastors who are Watchmen pastors committed to praying, preaching, and partnering with other pastors in their community. And a part of that is our culture impact teams, led by laymen in the churches that help equip the citizens to make a difference, the people in the church, the pews, to make a difference in their community by influencing the culture. Well, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us. If you missed anything on your way home, you can check it out later. It'll all be archived at TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.